is over Memorial Day weekend, so it's going to kick off on Thursday at the 24th, and then it'll run through the 28th. And it's really just a community-wide celebration. We celebrate all of the bounty and wonderful things that we get from the sea. And there's a huge carnival. We have vendor booths downtown, great eating and shopping. And then all around town, pretty much every organization throws some sort of event that surrounds Crab Festival. So it's a great time to get out and just do everything, celebrate that summer's started.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the food. And, like, could you just tell me, like who's come in, who's, like, putting on, like, a booth, and, like, from where and where are they coming from?
Sure, yeah. So we do have some local food vendors, as well as we have people coming from Haines, from Homer, one booth coming from Anchorage. And you really can get any type of food that you want to get. We'll have Spanish food this year, stir fries, Filipino, barbecue. You can always come down and grab just a doughboy. So it's really kind of an exciting time to explore new foods.
And I guess backing up, like, when is Crab Fest? When is it starting, and how long is it going for?
Sure. So it starts on the 24th. We'll open up on Thursday at noon, and then we run all the way through Monday at 5 o'clock.
And Toby, you're a longtime Kodiak resident. Like, what's Crab Fest mean from your memory? Like, is it fun? Is it, like, a big time of the year?
It's a pretty big event. I think for kids, it's bigger than Christmas in some ways. I mean, the memory that I carry with me is when my kid Abraham was like 5, sopped to the bone, and he said, please, just one more ride, one more ride. So it's a big deal for kids, but there's a lot of stuff for grown-ups too. It's a pretty big deal.
And it's been going on a while. Like, this year's a big anniversary, right?
Yeah, yep. This is our 60th year. So our whole theme this year is the Diamond Jubilee, 60 years of Crab Fest.
And are you guys doing anything special for that Diamond Jubilee?
Yeah, so we've really made it a theme. So the parade will have that theme. And then we've tried to kind of do a mix this year of really promoting our traditional events, because we do want to recognize that things have been happening for that whole amount of time, and then also bringing in some new events happening this year.
And what are the traditional events that have been happening since the beginning?
Sure. So we have, of course, the Rubber Duck Race in the Russian River. And this year that's being taken over by the Lions Club. The Rotary's just taken a year off. So that one's pretty exciting and big. We also have the Survival Suit Race is another huge one. Happens right down on Oscar's Dock. And then we do things, you know, like to remember the fishermen that have passed away. So we have a fisherman's memorial service every year as well.
And you know, Toby, you used to fish crab, right? And, like, as a former fisherman, and even when you were fishing, like, what did this festival mean to you?
Well, when I was crab fishing, I never went to the Crab Festival because I was out fishing usually. But it was started, as I understand it, in the late 50s, its 60th year, because the crab season in those days went from August until late May. It was a 9-month season. And at the end of the season, everybody was back in town getting ready to go salmon fishing, and it seemed like the right time to have a town festival. That's my understanding of how it started.
And just in general, for, like, you know, I assume lots of people in Kodiak know crab is a big part of this place's history, but just for some people who may not be as familiar, can you just tell me, like, when we're talking about crab, we're talking about king crab, correct?
Yeah, there are several different varieties of crab on Kodiak, of course, but king crab was the big one, and that's why they started the Crab Fest. But after World War II, the American fishermen started fishing for king crab around Kodiak and in the Bering Sea. Lowell Wakefield had a plant over in Raspberry Island. He experimented in the late 40s with how to process crab because they really didn't know how to do that. There were a lot of crabs in the water after the war in the late 40s that started appearing. And for the first time, they were fishing boat technology to go catch them. So they used round pots. They kind of tried to figure out how to catch them for a few years. And then it really took off. Once the processing plants figured out how to process the crab and how to market it down south, mostly in cans, it really took off. And by the early 60s, it was going pretty big. And people started building boats that were kind of designed for crab fishing instead of just using their salmon boat. And the fishery, they caught more crab every year until 1966. That was the peak year. And I believe that there's 92 million pounds of king crab were crossed the docks in Kodiak in 1966. And then it was a slow decline from there until the last season was in 82.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot of crab. I guess you see, I mean, when you go into bars or even like Wells Fargo or like a lot of places, like, yeah, you see bears because, of course, Kodiak. But you also see like framed king crab and they're just huge. And like, why do you think crab has become a part of this community's identity?
Well, I mean, Kodiak billed itself for 40 years as the king crab capital of the world. The sign out by Dead Man's Curve used to say that. I may have a new one now. But it really defined Kodiak. I mean, Kodiak was a village until World War II, and then it became a town. And then salmon fishing was going on. But when king crab hit, it transformed this place. Suddenly there were hundreds of new faces in town. There was lots of money because fishermen were making money, processing workers were making money, the people who were loaning the money to get the boats and the plants built, all those people were making money, and it was a boom town, just like the Wild West in some ways. And people came from all over the world, and there was a huge opportunity for people that wanted to work hard and just try to make something of themselves. And there were, of course, a lot of people that just wanted to work hard and make some money and do whatever that did. But it was a seminal event in Kodiak's history. There's no question about it.
And Dana, like we were talking like before, like we went on air, and like this is your first Crab Fest too.
It is, yeah. Not the first I've ever attended, but my first planning.
Yeah, and I guess like planning it, like that's a whole beast on its own.
Absolutely. I think as Toby was mentioning, we have, you know, events for kids, we have events for adults, and so experiencing Crab Fest, I never realized all of the different multifaceted things that are always going on. You know, some events that I'm planning now I had never been to before. So that's been really exciting to see just all the dimensions that this event has and all the different places in our community that it reaches to.
Yeah, I guess I was going to ask, like, you have to contact all the organizations that plan things and stuff. And, like, do you still see people, like, you know, celebrating crab and, like, seeing this as a big part of Kodiak's, like, the way the community views itself?
Absolutely. I mean, we still have two vendors that sell crab every year at Crab Festival. Very popular. And I think a big part of the festival is having them there. And we always get that question, are they going to be there each year? But I think, as Toby was talking about, one of the reasons that we had never changed the name or anything like that is because it does harken back to this moment of Kodiak's first creation or boomtown era. And that's kind of a tradition that we don't want to forget about.
And, like, is one of the best ways to show, like, how much of the community really loves this, like, you know, loves crabs, but loves this festival is the parade. Could you go into a little bit about who's all participating in that and just what the parade looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to have the Crab Fest parade again this year on Saturday. It'll start right at 10 a.m., but we encourage you to get out early to get your seats because we do get quite a crowd. And it's going to run the same route as last year. So that'll be from Powell and Mill Bay. Then it will head north up Mill Bay and end at Bartle Avenue. And we have a lot of great groups coming out for it. Each year, the Kiwanis Club helps us with putting that event on. So big shout out to them. And we are still looking for more participants. So if you are interested in marching the parade, please do reach out to me at the chamber office.
And like Toby, you were saying this is like can be really big for kids. Like there's even a part of the parade just for kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have what we call our shrimp parade. And everyone basically meets at 9:15 in the Noodles parking lot. And it's for kids that are first grade and younger. And you're able to dress on theme, you know, come with a parent. And then we give out goodie bags that have candy and toys in them, as well as some information on different child services and schools in the area. Associated Island Brokers always comes out and gives everybody balloons. And we do a little mini judging. So we give away awards for like hottest wheels or best theme, things like that. And each year that's sponsored by Canna.
Are you expecting to see a lot of little kids dressed as shrimp?
I think so. Yeah. I know in the past we've gotten up to 100 participants for that parade. So they all get together at 9:15, and then once the main parade goes by, they tag on and walk part of the parade. So it's pretty adorable.
And Toby, do you go to it now? You said you couldn't go when you first started fishing, but now like there's in that 9-month season. So
well, the Kodiak Maritime Museum runs a food booth. We sell Bering Sea codfish, fried deep fried cod and fish tacos. So I am at the Crab Festival for the whole thing, doing that pretty much.
And you have an event going on during Crab Fest too, right, Toby? The Harbor Tour.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Yeah, we are doing a harbor tour for anybody that wants to go to it. I think it's Saturday. Is that correct, Dana?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot going on.
Yep, Saturday
it's in my
four.
Calendar. So that's anybody who wants to. We do 90-minute tours of the harbor. We show them the boats, talk a little bit about the history of the harbor and the town itself. And it's quite popular. We usually have a few people. We, of course, do those for the cruise ships. We're doing that tomorrow for the cruise ship. And then we're also going to do a kiddie ride, which we hadn't done in a few years, these big floating water balls, and we'll have that set up. And that's a fundraiser for the Kodiak Maritime Museum. It's for kids only. It's a big 6-foot plastic ball. We zip them in, and they roll around in a big pool of water.
That's awesome. Sounds like it'd be a really funny thing to watch, even if you can't participate.
It's fun to watch. Yeah, it is.
And Toby, I guess like getting back to crabbing, what was it like to fish crab in Kodiak when King Crab was still like here and peeking out?
I started crab fishing when I was 19, and I didn't have enough life experience to know that it wasn't a usual thing. I grew up in a suburban environment back east, and I came up here and started crab fishing, and it just seemed like, well, this is what you do in your life. And it didn't seem that extraordinary until I would go back and talk to people back east, my family, and there, to them, it was like I'd been visiting the planet Mars. It was there were hundreds of us that were crab fishermen, thousands, really. And it was an industry, and we were good at it, and we made a lot of money, and it's just what people did. So I think in West Virginia, they might think of coal mining as almost a normal thing because that's what they do, and crab fishing was that here. Of course, it still goes on in the Bering Sea every year.
When you would go home, like what would your family be most blown away by? Like what were the stories that like really interested them?
They didn't really believe any of the stories. I think they just thought I was making them up because they were a little outlandish compared to regular life in suburban America. Kodiak was a very rowdy place in those years. There were a lot of bars and there was a lot of money. And people were 19, 20, 25 years old. There were a lot of Vietnam vets in the late 60s and early 70s who had come back from the war. So it was a very mixed community of fishermen, and it was a rowdy place. It was a lot of fun to be 19 years old and a little bit, I think, a little bit threatening maybe to the status quo in Kodiak that was more reserved. I think the boat harbor was a rowdy place, and all those bars, there was a lot going on. So it was, we used to talk about Dodge City in 1860 in Kansas or something. I mean, it sort of had that feel to it.
And, like, you know, you stayed, and I'm sure many crab fishermen stayed. Like, how have you seen, Kodiak change since King Crab, like, left the Gulf?
Yeah, that's a interesting question, Mitch. There are a whole generation of us in town. There are a big generation of us that started up here. We were young. We were crab fishermen. I didn't think it would that I'd spend my life here at first, but that's ended up what happened. A lot of people got older, started having families, and started thinking about longer-term things, and I think that's what happened. So there's hundreds of people in Kodiak that came here to work in the cannery or bartend or be a crab fisherman, and they ended up staying. And there's a huge community of people who were here in those years that lives in other parts of the country now who've gone back home or whatever. And there's a lot of communication between the people still here and those people. There's a pretty big community of that.
Dana, does the chamber see a lot of people come back for Crab Fest or just talk about to you guys about like their past stories?
Yeah, absolutely. We have been getting calls pretty much all month, you know, checking on the dates of Crab Festival and talking about, oh, well, we used to go to that when we lived there. We'd love to come back for another year. One thing that's been really fun is we always have a Crab Fest logo and poster. And there's been a bunch of people who will show me like, oh, this is my Crab Festival shirt from 20 years ago, or this is my Crab Festival shirt from 25 years ago. So it's kind of cool to see that swag. And we do have the library is putting on a display to celebrate the 60th year. And they've put up some panels explaining the history and then also included some of those pieces so you can see kind of the whole history of Crab Festival and merchandise.
And has the poster and swag been released for this year's?
Yeah, yep. So we have it on sale right now at the chamber office, and then we'll move it over to our booth next week. The design of the logo was done by John Finnerty, who's a young Coast Guardsman here in town. It's pretty cool. It's a crab holding a diamond to celebrate the Diamond Jubilee. And then Shelley Paulson actually did our poster design this year, and it's a pretty striking image. She made it all out of mixed paper collage, so it's kind of got like a unique texture to it.
Yeah, I've like seen a ton of different years, like posters are always very striking. And do you guys, what's the process of choosing who does that artwork?
Yeah, so we have each year a Crab Festival committee. It's made up of 9 people representing the community, and they help us with the planning of the entire festival, and then they also serve as our judge and jury. We put out a big contest to the public. Everyone submits their artwork, and then they help us decide who should be the winner.
And, like, Toby, do you have, like, a ton of these posters hanging around, or what about you? I mean, it feels like you've been involved, like, whether crabbing or at the cod booth. Like, it seems like you've been involved in the Crab Fest for a while.
I actually don't have any of the posters, but I have a lot of the sweatshirts. Yeah.
And in general, like, Toby, can you just tell us about the Maritime Museum and, like, what you guys are working on and trying to raise money for with your booth and your tours?
We're very close to finishing the Thelma Sea project, which we have been working on for a long time. So the boat is down there right in the middle of Crab Fest, physically there right next to the Trident plant. So the boat is there and it's ready to go as an exhibit. We just need to put the building up, which is going to happen probably after Crab Festival with shipping schedules and with the Crab Festival there and a construction site. So later on this summer, you'll see an open-sided building being erected over the boat. And there'll be some signage and some interpretive panels, and all that should be done by the end of the summer.
And for our listeners who don't know, what is the Thelma Sea Project?
The Thelma Sea Project is a restored fishing boat that was built in 1965. And it was built because the 1964 earthquake destroyed a boat belonging to a guy named Ken Christofferson, who was from a Fognak Island. His boat was destroyed in the 64 tsunami, and he had a new one built, and it was the Thelma Sea. And hundreds of boats exactly like the Thelma Sea were built in Seattle. They were kind of a generic fishing boat model, and there was a boatyard down there that was building them for $19,000. You could buy a new boat, just sail it away. They built them in 30 days. If you gave them the check, you had a new boat in 30 days. It was pretty amazing. But of all those boats, this is just about the last one left. In the 70s and into the 80s, there were still a number of those boats in the boat harbor. You could look down there, and there are 4 or 5 of them. They were called earthquake boats. So it's a very historic model of boat, and we just happened to be given to us by the last owner, Mark Thomas. And it's going to be an exhibit about salmon fishing and the salmon industry, and also about the earthquake and how it affected Kodiak.
That's really interesting. That's really awesome. And does this... Like, on your harbor tours, how much of this, like, history is, like, do you tell your visitors?
We talk about the earthquake and the tsunami because we are walking through the harbor. We have stories of people who were in the harbor when that happened, and we tell those stories. And we talk about how downtown used to look a lot different until the earthquake, and the whole downtown area was, some of it was destroyed by the tsunami, and some of it was taken away with urban renewal right after that. So we talk about how the downtown is laid out. We talk about how the boat harbor was built. And then we talk about the boats that fish in the harbor and the fishermen who fish on them.
In, like, your, like, research on this stuff, like, you know, when Kodiak did have to rebuild, how much did the crab industry help it rebuild?
I think the crab industry was a big part of it because most of the shore processing plants were rubbed out by the tsunami. They were destroyed. So the king crab plant was not. They were high enough up. I think they got some water in there. But king crab was going in March of 1964. It was kind of in the middle of the season. So it really put a kink in things when all these processing plants went away. So what people did very entrepreneurially, if I can pronounce that right, people went down to Seattle and they bought these old surplus ferry boats and they hauled them up. And when I came here in the early 70s, there were a number of these processing plants along the waterfront which were actually old Seattle or Puget Sound ferry boats that they just thrown processing equipment in. And they had them up and running in a couple of months sometimes. So the tsunami rubbed out all the infrastructure downtown, and then they rebuilt it with cutting-edge technology. So in a way, the tsunami cleared the debris away from old-fashioned processing techniques, and they used state-of-the-art technology when they rebuilt.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. And just like the relationship to an industry to a keystone event in Kodiak's history.
I think the earthquake happened just before the peak of the king crab fishery, so those two things go hand in hand. This was a king crab town, and then the earthquake happened. What's remarkable is how fast it recovered. They had processing plants that they'd hauled up within weeks. And, you know, the morning after the earthquake, there were people down there with bulldozers pushing debris into piles and, you know, trying to get things going. I think in those days, you didn't need quite the permitting process that you need now to start pushing things around with bulldozers.
Yeah, I guess. It was pre-Kodiak Island Borough. I guess there were permits to request.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it, but I've seen pictures of people getting to work on the project literally the morning after it happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I guess, like, as we wind down a little bit, not that we're winding down with the plans for Crab Fest, Dana, but, like,
sure.
You mentioned a special guest to this year's Kodiak, the Crab Fest, Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallett.
Oh, yes. So the Lieutenant Governor will be here in town. They will have a booth for the new campaign down in the Midway, and we'll be in the parade. And then he's actually going to be hosting a meet and greet on Friday evening. That'll be from 5 to 7 in the convention center. So that's kind of one of our new events for this year.
And will there be any other candidates in the upcoming election?
Not attending this year, yeah.
What about there are also some other new events, right, this year?
Yeah, one event that I'm really excited about is they're going to do a film screening of the film Keep Talking. I'm not sure how many people caught the first premiere here in Kodiak, but it's a beautiful film about the Aleutic revitalization of their language. And they're going to host that on Saturday at 6 p.m. Right over in the high school auditorium.
And we have about, 1 minute left, guys, but, is there anything else would like to leave our listeners with about either the history of crabbing in Kodiak or just the Crab Fest for this year?
I think I would just mention that people who are looking for details on who's going to be there and when to go to everything can find it all on our website. Everything's up on kodiakchamber.org. We have the full schedule of events as well as our vendor list.
And in any last thoughts?
Let's hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah, let's hope it. And that's a good thing to end on. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in, and I'll see you guys at Crab Fest.
Thank you.
Thank you.